Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 314 for comics originally released on August 14th, 2013. Now, starting us off in DC's World's Finest number 15. Before we get into the content of this, I want to get a little nitpick just out of the way so we can then say, okay, oops, they're bad, and just ignore it. Do you notice on the cover who the credits were?
Let's see, Paul Levitz,
Rob Sumaroca, and Wayne Foucher.
Yeah.
Open to the first page.
Levitz, Lupacino, Ortega,
Brian. Completely different art team.
Huh.
I mean, the cover credits are flat out wrong compared to what's listed there, and I almost have to think it's... You know, either an unfortunate accident, sloppy editing, or something on the part of, be it the assistant editor, the group editor, or the production department, somebody. And these guys are doing hard work on this, getting the credits wrong. That's just, you know, it's unfortunate. It's not fair to those creators.
Which one's right?
I'm going to say the one on the interior.
Ah.
And what's funny is, I know the cover was by Lupacino because it's signed there. But as a good interior artist, the pages themselves are not signed. But I'm assuming it's Lupacino. I'm going to credit it to Emanuela Lupacino. Nonetheless, how about that?
Okay.
That's what the solicit said, so... It's funny that the cover was wrong, so it's not like they switched at the last minute.
Is it the case where they have that same cast for each cover, and they just open that last file and didn't change it?
Is
it as simple as that?
I don't know who did the last issue. I'd have to go dig the issue out and check. But I know this title has changed artists from where it started, because, of course, it had Kevin Maguire and George Perez. And you know, I miss those guys. I think George Perez is just a brilliant, brilliant artist. And Maguire, I mean, I don't think anyone does kind of facial expressions and that kind of emotion and acting better than he does. Lupacino is not on par with either of those, but not far off from that, and certainly a really great match in terms of the style and stuff.
Yeah, it seems pretty close to what I was reading earlier in the series.
Now, have you been following the series the whole time?
No, I've taken some breaks.
Fair enough. This is actually one of my favorite titles at DC, and I think part of that is there's a familiarity I have with these characters. I mean, they're not exactly the pre-crisis versions, but they're so close. And they have that feel, that tone, that style that's evocative enough of that it's clicking with me. Whereas some of these other characters and these other titles are so different than their immediate predecessors pre-Flashpoint that it's been a little, it's taken me some time just to start to get used to them. While I really enjoy this title, I'm not going to say this is one of the best of the series, because it was not. It was not a bad issue by any stretch. But, and I'm curious on your opinion of this, to me it just covered too little ground, this issue.
Well, it was kind of a wall-to-wall battle, and I did enjoy it in that, you know, there's plenty of action there. I think my favorite issues of World's Finest are the ones where there's a back and forth chemistry between Huntress and Power Girl, and that they have some room to breathe and they're in the same room.
Yeah.
For most of this issue, they're in separate rooms. And so that chemistry is lost. That villain I hadn't seen yet, so I must have missed.
Desaad?
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't see that one him before. So he was interesting, very very powerful guy.
The fact that you haven't seen him before tells me you have not read much of any of the Fourth World stuff.
Okay.
He is one of the main lieutenants or whatever for Desaad. Or not Desaad, Darkseid.
Oh, okay.
Desaad. So it's the whole Fourth World stuff that goes back to the Kirby days and some of his early work at DC and stuff, back on Jimmy Olsen and whatnot. And then, of course, the Fourth World, the New Gods, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't, none of that sounds familiar.
Interesting. There's a ton of material on it. This is brand new takes on it. Seems to be a very different twist. And, of course, it harkens back to some of the, not only the early issues of this title, but of, Earth 2 and of Justice League, you know, because, okay, of course, it's all tied into what's going on with Darkseid.
Yeah, Darkseid I know.
Well, and there are a lot of stories that are just him, but there are also a lot of stories where you've got him and his support cast or whatever.
Okay.
I just found it very interesting that, I mean, I can sum up the entire issue with Huntress has been captured by Desaad and Power Girl goes to rescue her. And that's pretty much it.
Yes.
And what we got here, I liked. It just felt like more should have happened. And I'm very surprised by that because I think Paul Levitz is a very, you know, talented writer. And, you know, you compare this to his work in Legion of Superheroes somewhat today, but definitely back in the 80s and stuff, where he had kind of an ABC writing style. You'd have a main plot line that's going on. You'd have one that was ramping up and another one that was kind of ramping down. So there was almost a rotating, you know, focus or whatever over the course of a year, and everything just smoothly. It felt like very much a continued story with those things kind of woven in and out of each other. Now, with two characters, that's very hard to do, that kind of three-pronged storytelling here.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to agree that one of the things that really makes this title shine is that interplay between Huntress and Power Girl, and we really didn't get that this issue.
And I think I'd like them not so closed up, and it seemed claustrophobic, this issue. I like them out more in the world, either chasing down the bad guys or, you know, trying to pull research together to find a way back. Those type of storylines are more appealing to me than kind of sealed in a room, close up stuff. It less exciting.
I hadn't really thought about that, but you're right. This title has always had a bit of a globe-trotting, jet-setting aspect to it.
At least my favorite issues did. I may have overlooked some of the ones that did not.
Well, I'm not going to say every issue has had it, but it's been an aspect of the series where they could show up in almost any part of the world or whatever. And you're right, the single location here, the interior. I mean, we don't even know, frankly, where most of the story takes place.
No, I have no idea. I mean, a boom tube got them there, and then they got zapped back out. So we'd have no idea where they are, right?
I have no idea where they are. Yeah, it was a little disconcerting that way. Again, what we got here, there are a couple of things here and there. Like I said, you know, where it was set and all that kind of stuff. That it's like, okay, a little odd. Don't think it was Levitt's best work. But what we got here, I enjoyed what we got. I just didn't think we got much or enough. And certainly I would not use this issue to judge the title by, because I don't think it's representative. To me, this was a high 3, low 4, and I'm probably going to give it, I don't want to say the benefit of the doubt, but a little bit of carryover from just my thoughts on the series as a whole and give it a low 4. But it's a title that's usually, frankly, a lot better than this.
Yeah, this is a 3 for me, but it's still a readable comic and not bad in any way. This issue did not shine. I did like the kind of inner monologue that Huntress had reminiscing about her father and his preparedness and how that's paid off in the situation that she was in. I thought that was a nice touch, and I liked that bit. And there were some other things that were nice in the issue. And I thought the art was pretty good. I like the art.
I was pleased with the art. I just don't think it's on par with Perez and Maguire.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's like
George Perez.
Yeah, it's a high bar.
But yeah, it's a solid 3.
Your comment about the captions and the preparedness stuff, I thought that was really well done too, because it really sold what in the hands of a lesser writer would have come across to me as a, come on, you've got to be kidding. That's how she gets out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It would have seemed like a Deus Ex Machina or whatever, just a magic solution. But they sold it, and it made sense and added to the character growth.
And yeah, and it wasn't hammered home. It was subtly enough stated that it worked very well.
Yeah, very believable to me as to how it was done.
And Power Girl got her costume torn a little bit. Well, always gets points from me for that. So
understandable. yeah, I'm curious where this title goes and how things are gonna, you know, intertwine either with the Earth 2 stuff or if we're eventually gonna get a JLA JSA crossover at some point. Again, this is my favorite title at DC. I think they've got some other very strong ones, but consistently, this is one I'm always liking.
Is it selling in the 40s?
I would have to pull up that spreadsheet, and if you give me just a moment, I can. I didn't think to. I never think to have that open.
And I did hear from last week's podcast that Guardians of the Galaxy came in at number 5 for July. or the Angela issue.
Actually, Guardians of the Galaxy came in the top slot with number 5.
Oh, number 5 was number 1. Okay.
Oops, hang on. No, I've got this filtered slightly. Let me unfilter by publisher and double-check that.
Also, number 5 was the best-selling comic. Okay, I misunderstood or misheard.
No, my mistake. It was the third best-selling behind Superman Unchained and Batman, but, let's see, World's Finest... came in at rank 100, selling 25,143 units for number 14.
That's too bad. It's a better title than that.
I agree entirely. And for anyone wondering when they're going to see the Mayo Report, just since it came up, it's going to be a little later than usual this month. I'm traveling and stuff. By the time this episode goes up, I will be back and recording, I think, hopefully. Something like that. So it will go up soon. But yeah, I think World's Finest is a really strong title for them, but it's also one of those that's enough disconnected from the rest of the DC New 52 that I think some people either feel it doesn't matter or they can skip it or I don't know. And I think that is part of what contributes to where it's selling. The switch in the artists and stuff over the last couple issues from Perez Maguire to anyone other than Perez Maguire, I don't think has helped either.
Will this have an annual soon?
You know, it's hard to tell because not all the titles have had annuals. Some of them are already on their second one, and I haven't figured out what rhyme or reason there is to what titles get one and what don't.
It was tough because I know Earth 2 had theirs, and this was the same wave, so I thought maybe it would be coming out or solicited or something soon.
I don't recall seeing one solicited for this title.
No, I have not either.
But we've had some solicited for, Nightwing's getting one this year.
Yeah.
That happens right after the Villains Month, and Animal Man is, I can't be right, he's already had two, but I think Nightwing gets his first one this year. So, again,
not a lot of sense. Yeah, maybe it's if the spare creator, they have the right creators available to do it, or...
I would hope it's if they have a story that's worthy of one, you know, they've got the extra space, you don't want to tell just a run-of-the-mill story there.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
And it may be based on how it's selling and if they think they can get an audience for something at a slightly higher price for it. So
makes a lot of sense.
Shall we move on to our Marvel book?
Sure.
This is Infinity, part 1 of 6. This is by Jonathan Hickman. We talked either last week or the week before about, you know, what's an event, what's not an event. To me, an event, line-wide title that touches on pretty much everything or every... not necessarily every title, but every character, or like 90% of it. Now, I know Infinity is an event, because on the first page, it flat out says so, a Marvel Comics event.
Exactly.
Now, if you look at the checklist at the end, it's only really tying into the various Avenger titles, so to me, not so much. I'd categorize it more as a regional incident, if you will, in the Marvel universe, even though it's an intergalactic thing.
Now, if I was taking the comic book SATs, I would have missed that question, because... I would think an event was anything with a standalone title that crosses over multiple books. I would think that would be an event.
Well, and again, to me, regional incidents is a lower category of event, both of which usually have their own standalone miniseries or whatever. It ties into multiple titles. But I think there's something fundamentally different between a title or something like this, which is looking to only cross over into Avengers, New Avengers, really mainly those two, or even a Batman title that's crossing over into the Batman family of things versus something like Civil War, like Infinite Crisis, that crosses over into everything. And to me, the big difference is that one of those quote-unquote true events, it gets sales juice from readers on nearly every title because they feel that their title or the characters they care about are being impacted by this thing, and therefore they kind of feel obligated to some sense, or they are interested in following it. Because it matters.
Maybe that's a super event. Maybe there's an event that's just and then there's the super event that crosses over the whole line.
Well, typically when people have referred to these things as events, they're talking about what you're categorizing as a super event. So to me, you got to go with that standard nomenclature and go down, not, you know, recategorize but that's semantics.
Yeah, I think crossover and event are used sometimes one and the same.
And to me, they're very different.
Right.
A crossover is like if you've got, I'm trying to think of a good one recently where character from book A goes into book B, character from book B goes into book A, you've got to intertwine the reading of those issues to follow it.
And not necessarily a standalone miniseries that's accompanying it.
Trinity War. That's a good example of a crossover. Now, they pitched it as if it were an event, and I think that's detrimental because it sets expectations.
Now, this came out originally, was it last year? Wasn't this year's Free Comic Book Day. Was it the year before?
I thought it was this year's Free Comic Book Day that had some of this in it.
Okay.
But I don't, frankly, I couldn't place which pages it were, and I was too lazy to go check.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that got me is, of course, we start with the first actual page of the comic. It's a white page with gray text, a Marvel Comics event, and a little diamond. Ooh, a title page. Okay, I'm going to count that as a page of overhead. Not saying it's bad, not saying it's wrong. I'm saying
Hickman
it's not
likes
a page
to do
of
that.
Art.
Huh? Hickman likes to do that, as you'll notice in our next book.
Oh, yeah, Hickman and, loves to do that.
And it is a 64-page extravaganza, so he does have some room to play.
It's 45 pages of story. 9 pages of overhead.
I really just wanted to say extravaganza.
It's certainly an extravaganza, and I felt like we got a lot of story in this issue, but there's a certain aspect, and I'm counting the 2-page title spread, the various chapter breaks or whatever, anything that's text or credits and no story as overhead. 9 pages of that. 4 issues of Infinity essentially contain a comic book's worth of overhead. Now, somebody had to pay for the printing of that, like Marvel. Somebody had to pay for the shipping of all that, like the retailers. I'm certain they passed the savings on to us. But, flip side, these days, $4.99 is only a dollar more than most titles, so it's not like removing the pages would have cut the cost any. But it's kind of almost the principle of the matter to a degree.
I felt like I was getting a bargain at $4.99 for this many pages, even if they were just title pages.
I think part of that is the physical weight of the book.
Yeah.
It feels impressive, and it really does. But you're getting, a little over 2 issues worth of story here, whereas the way it was pitched, it sounded like you were getting almost, 2.5 or almost 3.
Yes.
But the pages were well used, so it's not a big deal. But it just seemed like every time the story got going, it paused for a few pages of page flipping for no good reason. But, I know Hickman loves to do this kind of stuff. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's something that's very noticeable to me and sometimes does pull me out of the story a little bit. I did find the page where they list the cast and stuff kind of interesting.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time on that one.
Particularly the Builders and the Space Knights, because the Builders are over from, Avengers and New Avengers. I always get the Avenger titles backwards. But the Space Knights, man, they haven't been seen much in ages. They had a miniseries or two that I think was recently reprinted, but these guys go back to the ROM days, so like the 80s. And of course, they don't have rights to ROM, so they're just using the other Space Knights.
That's never been hammered out, ROM rights?
I don't know that anyone's particularly tried to hammer it out, but I think it's just they don't have the rights to them, so they're okay with that.
But it is an extensive cast list.
It is. It's pretty big, but you've got the Avengers, you've got the Inhumans, you've got 3 X-Men, one of which is an Avenger, so you could argue if he counts or not. But to me, if this were a true event, you'd have the Fantastic Four, a couple of Defenders, you'd have a ton more X-Men, you would have Spider-Man, Daredevil, everybody and their dog almost. We'll see. Overall, I like this. I thought we got a good amount of story here, but this was another kind of a gather the team because there's a threat issue with the team literally going to take action, but not having actually taken action. They're just going to go take action. And we're a sixth of the way through the story.
Yeah, it's at the table in a lot of different directions, and there were a lot of chapters within this book with a lot of different plots that are started and assuming will be going off in the different crossover books to be played out and then meet back in the middle somewhere down the line. But it's a big cast to me. I think they get a little unwieldy when they get that large. And it's tough as a reader to, fully enjoy that large of a cast, at least for me. Maybe I am that's just not my thing anymore because the AVX and the Age of Ultron, obviously I wasn't a big fan of those. So maybe building the big teams and fighting the big threat is just not in my wheelhouse anymore.
Well, I think part of it is for any writer to take a cast that large and try to give any of them any sort of sufficient screen time and characterization, it's a real challenge. It's hard to do that. So they already start a little bit at a disadvantage in that respect and have to leverage the pre-existing aspects of the character. And if you're not familiar with all the characters and with a huge, huge cast, it's increasingly difficult for people to be familiar with all of them. You don't have that knowledge, existing knowledge of the characters to lean on. So to a degree, it's almost, I don't say a recipe for disaster, but it certainly is a challenge for the writers of anything with this size of a cast to give the characters enough screen time, give them enough characterization that if you're not familiar with them, you care, you know who they are at the very least. I think Hickman, by and large, did a good job, but I was also familiar with almost all the cast. So, I mean, I hadn't seen the Space Knights in A Dog's Age. I'm not sure I could have necessarily named off which builder was which or whatever, because I think some of them look a little too similar. But, you know, I mean, this was a fun issue. It was good.
Yeah, you could still enjoy it without all that knowledge, I think. But the overall idea of the book was a little lessened just because it just seems a little too massive to be able to tell the story properly.
That's fair. There were a few things here and there that I thought were really nice, subtle touches that I found, you know, just entertaining. There was one in particular, I don't want to give it away, but with the pizza group or whatever.
Yep, that was probably my favorite touch.
Because I had that, wait a sec, oh, I see what's going on. It's like, that was fun. So, I mean, they've got a great creative cast here. Hickman's a very talented writer. He does good stuff at Marvel. Jim Chung's a great artist. I'm looking forward to what they do in the other five issues. But I'm also, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed this. I think it's going to top the chart next month. But it's not going to do like Civil War level numbers or something, and which is fine. It doesn't need to. As long as they tell a good story, it's entertaining and it's got a solid ending. That's all I really ask for out of something. So for me, 4 out of 5. It was good. Personal pet peeve, all the overhead pages, because I think it was like 1 out of 6 pages was that.
Yeah, it's a 3 for me. Another 3, solid 3. Not a bad book. It was okay. And I don't know that I'll continue reading it though, because I don't read any of the other Avengers books, and I don't think I want to. So I think I would. I don't know if I could just do a straight line 1 through 6 and get enough out of it.
Fair enough. If this were a, for lack of a better term, true event, and the characters for the Marvel books you are reading were heavily involved with this,
yes, if this was a Superior Spider-Man event,
would that have been enough to get you to keep going?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, that's the difference of an event, not an event.
Yeah.
But, you know, if now, you're not reading the other books, why would you continue with this?
But on the flip side, the Pandora stuff, I wasn't reading the Justice League, but I like that issue number one enough that I decided to follow that crossover and keep up with it, even though I wasn't reading those other books. So, it's just a difference, I think. And that's a big cast as well, so.
Not quite as big,
and I'm more familiar. I think I'm more rooted in the DC universe, so I'm more familiar with everybody and all the players. And that's probably, the familiarity helps a lot.
I think the first issue also got past the let's go take action. Action was definitively taken. And then there's, okay, what comes after that?
Yeah.
So I think it got further into the story and past a major plot point or two, whereas this one seemed to have teased a lot more than it really almost delivered. So I can see why you're continuing with Trinity War, but not this. Be interesting to see how the sales kind of work out on this just overall.
Yeah, I think, it sold out at a local comic shop pretty quickly. So even at $5, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah. Well, again, the $4.99 seems a little steep, but we get a fair number of pages for this, so I don't feel like I was ripped off.
Right.
I mean, again, there were 9 pages of overhead, but still 45 pages of actual story. So I was good with that. Would have liked another 9, but, you know, hey.
Oh, we like to call it white space.
There was plenty of white space to let the story breathe.
Yes, that's what it was.
That's what it was. Silly me. Shall we move on to our other book for the week?
Sure.
This is East of West number 5. Now, I read the first issue. was not sold on the title, had not ordered, pre-ordered any of the others. He said, "Hey, John, let's do East of West." I said, "Okay." Because, you know, twist my arm, snaps right off. I went, actually, because of some time pressures, I went to the image site and downloaded the PDFs of 2, 3, 4, and 5, but I also went to the comic shop. We're recording this early. We're recording this on the Thursday after the books came out on Wednesday, because I'm going to be out of town. So Wednesday, when the books came out, I actually went to the comic shop, picked up 2, 3, and 4, and 5.
So you are current and officially a reader.
I am current. Whether I'm officially a reader or not, I guess depends a little more on semantics. I know I harp on that stuff. You know, I like number two. Uh-huh. Two was good.
Two was very good. Yeah.
Three, frankly, got a bit gross with the discussion in the bar and stuff. Kind of turned me off. Four was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sold on the series.
And if you're not sold by issue five, then they really haven't done their job.
You know, and I'm trying to figure out why it is, because it's not a badly done story. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of room for this one to breathe too. Don't get me wrong. And I'm thinking what part of it is, this is a mix of politics and politicians and kind of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's interesting, but a lot of these politicians are old white guys with long beards.
They do look a little like.
And, you know, sure, one's more Western, one's more Colonel Sanders or whatever, but they should look vastly different enough to where I just at a glance, oh, that's who that is, versus a wait, hang on. And again, I read 3, 4, and 5 back to back to back, you know? And I'm having a hard time finding any character that I can really relate to and can use as kind of my vantage point or my hook into the series. And
I had that problem at first as well.
What turned it around for you?
I started to root for Death. He's my guy.
Okay.
That's who I'm rooting for.
So you found
for.
A guy, basically.
Yeah, I did. I found my guy. Probably about the issue three. Was that the battle in China? Issue?
They all blurred together because, again, yeah. I read through them rapid fire.
That one kind of turned the corner for me. And I really liked the political stuff. I believe that was issue two. I liked the other horsemen. Of course, we haven't seen them much lately. But I really like this world that he's created. At first, I was a little confused and wasn't totally on board. But I kind of went with it and continued through the series. And now I kind of see the world he's created. I see the characters a little more. I'm not saying that I have a great grasp of where this is going. But I like the world enough and enough of the characters within it that I want to see where they go and what they do and how this plays out. Because, you know, we don't have a lot of the dots connected from issue one through to issue five. There's a lot of stuff that still needs to be worked out, and it hasn't happened yet. So I could understand where you could get impatient with that over time as a reader.
Well, and that's a good way to put it, because one of the things that I'm struggling with in terms of do I want to continue with this or not, because I haven't made a hard decision either way,
mm-hmm.
but it's a slow burn kind of a series. I mean, the first issue introduced, frankly, really more teased the Horseman at the end of that issue. One of the characters that's gone off to be a key character was, again, quote-unquote, introduced, or more accurately, teased on the last page of the second issue. You know, and I know the slow burn is intentional, and I'm not saying it's inappropriate or poorly done. It doesn't feel decompressed, but I almost want to use the term leisurely, and it's again, very intentional, the pacing of this story. But even having read through 2, 3, 4, and 5 in one sitting, it left me a little bit wanting in terms of I wanted a little bit more. I mean, that's not even fair, because a lot happened in those issues, quite a bit. You know, I feel I'm better versed as to more or less what the message is, who the horsemen are, who the politicians are. It just has had a hard time really. I'm not comfortable in that world. I don't have any character whose journey I particularly feel I must follow.
Yes.
But I'm not saying, oh, it sucks or anything remotely of the sort. It's really well done. But at the moment, it's not something I feel a compulsion that I must continue with.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I can see that. I can't argue with any of those points, because it's just a fine line. On in which side you come down on, and there's a new surprise in at the end of this issue, which is yet another path and unanswered mystery that needs to be solved. And frankly, we haven't solved all the ones that have been opened up leading up to this. So that's I can see there'd be a little bit of frustration there for some. Again, it's not a perfect book, but it is the world that I really, really like. The characters I find very compelling, and I do look forward to this one, and I want to see, okay, what's next. And even if it's uneven, because I will agree that the series, that all five issues have not been of the same quality. But for me, this is still a 4, a very solid 4, and I'll be there for number 6.
I guess for me, it's not a question so much of it. It's not like they've been a wildly different quality. Some have worked better for me than others.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think, again, the creative team seems to have a very clear and unified vision of what they're doing. I just haven't decided if what they're doing is right for me or not. But, you know, I respect what they're doing. To me, it's a 4 out of 5. Not the highest of 4s, but not the lowest either. And it's one that I think I may either reread these 5 issues or just, you know, revisit the title at some point down the line. I mean, I'm certainly not at the point of I'm done with it, I'll never read it again or anything of the sort. But having read them all, I also didn't feel, gosh, I should go put the other issues that have been pre-ordered on my list. And it may just simply be that this is not a title that's one I'm meant to be reading. Not everything is. There's nothing wrong with that.
I've heard others say it's better to wait for the trade on this book. That was their downside. But it sounds to me like it doesn't work that well in one sitting. That maybe it is the time off between issues that, for me, has helped build momentum.
That's a good kind of question. I am not sure if I would have liked it more or less if I'd read it on a monthly basis. I think, again, 2 worked well for me. I think if I'd been reading it monthly, 3 would have really gotten it, would have been a major bump on the road for me. And I don't know if 4 would have been able to kind of turn it around and how the story momentum would have gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think keeping track of which politician was which and stuff, or, you know, who's on whose side or whatever, would have been harder if I'd done it on a monthly basis.
I think the sales on this are pretty strong. I think all 4 of the previous issues are in multiple printings, which doesn't mean necessarily that they're selling gangbusters, but they're at least outselling expectations.
Issue 4 sold 43,228.
It's a solid title.
It's a very solid title. It's the July stuff was the second highest Image title. And again, that's well above World's Finest we just talked about a few minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah. So it was Walking Dead, East of West, and, well, no Saga that month. So,
no Saga that month. Then it was Satellite Sam, Wake, and Lazarus. So, I mean, Image is putting out a lot of good titles.
Wake's Vertigo, right?
I was thinking Wake was Image.
No, I think it's Vertigo.
Oh, my bad. For some reason, it showed up on my list as I may have just tagged that one wrong. I'll have to check. Again, though, Image is doing some good stuff. Hickman's doing some good stuff. It's just when he does stuff outside of Marvel and DC, sometimes it's stuff I like. Sometimes it's just subject matter or take or approach I don't.
Yeah, I like this, and I probably was thinking I needed to give some of his Avengers work another look because of how much I like this. But, you know, it's a matter of time and budget and all that to add on. You can't just add on an Avengers book. You've got a couple double shipping.
Actually, I usually can. Bad person to ask the question to.
It's a significant investment in both time and money to, because there are multiple Avengers books and they double ship, and it's not one title a month that you're adding. Yeah. You know,
if you're looking for some of his Marvel work to check out, I would really recommend his run on Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I've heard great things, and I have some of those back issues.
It was, I think, just some brilliant stuff. I've been a longtime reader of the Fantastic Four. He really understood the characters and really did some wonderful stuff on that title.
Yeah, and even the folks that like the Fraction run that's happening right now, still, they hold the Hickman run way, way up there.
It's same tone and style, but frankly, just better done.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing against, you know, what Fraction's doing right now. So, as I said, we're recording this early. I don't even have any of the other books from this week, other than Watson and Holmes number 2. I picked that up off the rack, but I have not read it yet. So, I really got nothing else in terms of new stuff to talk about.
I had to read Saga, but we don't need to talk about that until you've read it, and everything else is just waiting in the queue. Really psyched about Batman 23. There's just some other great stuff that came out this week that I can't wait to get to.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my shipment and getting through that.
And maybe if you could quit taking these long journeys, we could get back to some real work over here.
This is the last one I've got planned for a bit, so we'd be good.
Good through Thanksgiving.
I sure hope so. I got not only comics to read, but other stuff to be doing too. Solicits are starting to come out. I'll probably put a thread up on the forum shortly after this episode goes up for the previews, spotlight, and stuff. One of the things I did notice with the DC solicits, no Justice League 3000 in the September solicits. McGuire is off as the artist on that title. At one point, he seemed to have thought he might have been fired or something, but he's still doing stuff at DC, just not that. So I don't know what's up with that title, but I kind of think it may get delayed until DC kind of regroups and figures out what's going on and picks a new artist or something. Or
Have you seen anything on the Zero Year stuff yet?
I've noticed it's crossing over into a ton of other titles. A Flash title, Aquaman, a bunch of other stuff.
That can either be really well done or really horrible. I'm not sure. I hope it's the first one.
I hope so too, but I think it's going to be another month of, if you're not into Villains Month and you're not following Batman Zero Year, it's going to be slim pickings.
Well, DCBS did send me an email, the Villain Month 3D covers.
Oh, yeah, that's a good 3D cover.
They were voluntarily asking if you would throw yourself on the sword and take a 2D cover because there weren't enough to go around. So
I got that same email. What did you decide?
That I want my dang covers.
I kind of figured there were going to be a lot of people in that camp, and I kind of figured, you know, if DC can't be bothered to print enough or extend the solicitation cycle or do whatever they needed to meet the demand, I'm okay getting the 2D cover. So I said, go ahead and flip me over to that, and I'll save the $26.
Yeah, I want either the 3D cover I ordered or not the title at all.
If I could have been guaranteed to get all of the 3D covers, I'd have said, yeah, keep me on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to get some 2D, some 3D. That would have not worked for my OCD or something.
Yeah, you know, you did the bundle because you always do the bundle. So
yep.
That bundle dropped in price by
$26. Yeah,
$26. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Given how much my next order that I actually need to place probably tonight is, I think saving the $26 on a previous order is a good plan. I went ahead and ordered the I talked about at the end of the previews spotlight the ships that Eagle Moss or whatever was doing.
Yeah.
For Star Trek, I went ahead and ordered three of them, so that kind of bumped my order up a bit. I gotta stay away from some of these high ticket items. I've decided to only do ships that are, you know, featured ships of a show, you know, like the Enterprise or something like that. So I think I've got all three Enterprises. Once they do Voyager, really, I guess Voyager, Deep Space Nine, and the Defiant, that's it, I'm done. Or at least I can tell myself I'm done and stop looking at that part of the solicits.
Yeah, that's tough. You'll still flip through there.
yeah, I will. Who am I kidding?
Also, so we're going to do another previews soon then.
It will probably be at this point the first Saturday in September, which is going to be the 7th.
But folks can send in solicitations early.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as they're online, yeah.
As soon as they're already online for Image, DC, and maybe one other publisher.
Yeah.
I haven't had time to go through them. Actually, by the time this goes up, they will be up for all the major publishers and maybe some of the other ones and stuff. As soon as I can get the thread up and stuff with the links, I will. It's easy to find this stuff on CBR. I know some people have had problems in the past, but really the trick is go to the previous, if you're listening to this and for some reason I haven't gotten the thread up, go to any one of the preview spotlight threads. Go to any one of the links for a solicit that goes to comic book resources. At the bottom of that, there are going to be a bunch of tags on that article. The first one or one of them is solicitations. Click on that. It's going to take you to the page in comic book resources for the solicitations. At the top of that is going to be the recent batch. So easy to find this stuff. And again, Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, and IDW all released theirs in a given week, usually one per day. And then the following week is when we get the electronic, you know, online consumer order form and stuff like that from Diamond. The following week we get the previews, which I think is going to come out on the 29th or whatever this week or this month. So yeah, it's as soon as we're done with one, it's time for the next cycle to start. It's so crazy. Anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
That will do it for me.
Cool. Join us next week for Batman and Nightwing number 23 from DC, Cable and X-Force number 13 from Marvel, and Bloodshot Zero from Valiant. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.